From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Governor Gavin Newsom unveiled his May revision to the upcoming state budget. The press conference, which started this morning, is still going on right now. And as you know, Insight airs live at noon and re-airs at 7 p.m. The big headline is that after projecting a slight surplus at the start of the year, the fiscal picture has dimmed. California is facing a projected $12 billion shortfall. And to close that deficit, Governor Newsom is proposing reductions, most notably to Medi-Cal, which serves low-income individuals, including scaling back its health care expansion to undocumented residents, as well as dipping into the state's reserves. And after today, bargaining and negotiations, they really pick up at the state capitol, as state lawmakers have a month to pass a balanced budget or they don't get paid. There will be an outpouring of reaction and response following today's May revise, and we're going to tap into some of that today. Joining us now is Chris Haney, the executive director of the California Budget and Policy Center, which is a research and analysis nonprofit. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So leading up to today, there was anticipation that the state would be facing a projected budget deficit. That presser is still going on. The governor's taking questions and answers. The Department of Finance also will chime in. But what is your initial reaction to the May revise earlier today?
Yeah, I think the reality is that the economic picture has changed for the state, and that's affecting projections for the state's revenues, and that's largely due to uncertainty that's being created at the federal level. The state leaders, I think, have prided themselves, including the governor, on saying that, you know, they would protect the progress that state has made over the last decade or so. But the governor's budget actually proposes walking back significantly some of that key progress, like making sure that healthcare coverage is made available to everyone in the state. In this case, freezing the enrollment in the state's Medi-Cal program for adults who are undocumented, and a whole series of other cuts that are used as part of the solutions to solving the $12 billion shortfall.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to that expansion for Medi-Cal, and roughly a third of Californians, I believe, are on Medi-Cal, the state had said that, you know, it exceeded expectations of enrollees when it comes to residents who don't have legal status in the state. Why do you think that projection was off prior to this announcement that Medi-Cal would be expanded to a lot more Californians and residents in the state?
I think it's important to understand that the undocumented community is actually taking an unfair share of the blame for rising Medi-Cal costs. There were a whole series of factors that are actually driving higher than expected costs in that arena, including overall costs for the managed care system, which are up across the country and in California, really significant increases in prescription drug costs, particularly because of weight loss drugs and their inclusion in healthcare systems like Ozempic and some of the others, which come in at very high costs. So there were a series of factors. Yes, caseloads, which includes increases in caseloads for seniors and for undocumented communities, which are areas the state's made expansions. So there's a lot going on. I think what's unfortunate is the governor's proposals also pinning a lot of the cuts he's then proposing on the undocumented community, and that's an unfortunate way to solve the problem also. Mm.
Given that you joined us in January following the initial budget proposal from Governor Newsom, is the change in the fiscal outlook over the past 4 months, is that surprising to you when you kind of reflect back on that time back in January?
I don't think it's surprising. I think we've had several months now of a new administration at the federal level and a very high level of uncertainty. I think the federal tariffs are creating some economic instability that every economist I've seen with any legitimacy is saying we've got some rocky road months ahead of us. And so I think we've known this was coming. I think what we thought would happen was we would see more effort to actually protect some of those programmatic expansions that have happened in recent years. Particularly knowing that there's some other uncertainty in terms of federal cuts to programs that state leaders will have to revisit in a few months once we know more about the specifics of those federal cuts.
Hmm. Governor Newsom called this a some of the impacts, a, quote, Trump slump, attributing it to the Trump administration, saying that the state is under assault and that the president is assaulting the growth engines and creating deep uncertainty that's beyond the state's control. How much do you attribute this budget shortfall to the Trump administration?
I think the reality is this is Trump's economy at this point. You know, he took over an economy that was actually doing pretty well. Most of the major indicators were all pointing in good directions. Stock market was doing well. And the reality is a lot of those indicators are now shifting. You know, we were at a place where the Federal Reserve was starting to lower interest rates in order to try to deal with inflation. And that they're now freezing that activity because of the unknowns. The tariffs are creating much more uncertainty for corporations and small businesses. They're trying to figure out where they should make investments or not. We're seeing unemployment numbers change. So yeah, I think the reality is the state's fiscal outlook is changing because that economic outlook is now more uncertain than it was previously.
But the last budget cycle, the state had to close a budget shortfall the prior fiscal year too, right? And they did that through tapping into reserves, deferring some payments to state programs, among other financial decisions that the legislature and the governor made. So that's prior to this incoming and this new presidential administration.
Right. But the current year budget and the prior year budget, which did have deficits, were based on things that were happening, like interest rates being increased in order, you know, to deal with inflation from a couple of years ago and other economic factors that were going on previously. The governor's January proposal, also based on some of those earlier conditions, was reporting that revenues were coming in at a clip higher than had been expected. Even the first few months of this year, that was true. What's really changed is that the trajectory of a lot of economic indicators is now very uncertain, and that's what's affecting this revised budget proposal and the governor's fiscal outlook. Mm.
The governor also called this a relatively mild deficit, saying it's around 6% of the overall budget. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I think it's mild in historical, you know, in terms of historical trends. And the governor, you know, made that point. And I think in essence to say, look, that there's a deficit, but it's manageable. Unfortunately, I think one of the ways he wants to manage it is by taking healthcare away from folks, which I think there's got to be some other solutions that they can look at. I'm happy to say more about that. I think the other odd dynamic here is you would think that state leaders, particularly the governor, would be in the face of likely federal cuts that are coming soon and are being deliberated in Washington, D.C. this week, would be trying to not do any harm at the state level and use some other tools in order to deal with projected deficits or changes in the fiscal outlook. And some of that's in the budget, but there are other things that I think are more unfortunate.
Yeah, well, let's dive into that, because there's about roughly 4 weeks, give or take a month, before a balanced budget needs to be passed. So there's going to be a lot of negotiations and bargaining that's going to be taking place at the state capitol. Your nonprofit will be part of that. You will be hoping to shape policy at the state capitol. What alternatives, from your perspective, is out there to help stave off and buffer some of the deep cuts that the governor is proposing?
Yeah, there are a couple of options that I think are readily available to state leaders. One of them is that the state doesn't just spend money by making appropriations in the state budget. The state spends money by giving away tax breaks that primarily go to corporations and higher income households. Those tax breaks never sunset. They often get expanded, and they're most often not reviewed in terms of whether they're actually providing the kind of economic activity that we might expect. And we give away $80 billion plus in tax breaks like that. And I think state leaders could, in a moment like this, review some of those tax breaks and revisit them, temporarily suspend them, reduce them, eliminate some of them that are not very efficient uses of state resources, and put something on the revenue side of the ledger on the table. I think the other things the state could do is the governor is projecting almost $16 billion in reserves that are available still at the end of this next fiscal year, if all goes as he's projected. the state could dip into some of those reserves in order to avoid some one-time cuts that are in the governor's proposal. So there are other options on the table. It doesn't have to just be done through spending cuts.
Yeah. Do you think there's the appetite there at the state legislature to do this?
You know, state leaders tend to think of this only as a problem that they have to solve on the spending side of the budget. But I think facing really significant and harmful cuts to things like the state's Medi-Cal program, they need to have the appetite to be looking at the revenue side of the equation and to be questioning whether $16 billion in reserves is too much at this moment in time.
Hmm. And also, there's just more uncertainty out there. And this revision from the governor, it doesn't really incorporate any potential federal cuts that are currently under consideration at the federal level. How does that shape the work that you're going to be doing in the next month or so, hoping to shape policy and hoping to have an impact on a balanced budget?
Yes, we're getting a pretty clear picture of what the potential cuts are at the federal level. The markups in the House budget committees that are happening this week are telling us that we can expect cuts to the federal Medicaid program or Medi-Cal in California, some cuts in the federal SNAP program, what we call CalFresh in California. So it's not as if state leaders don't know some of what's coming. And I think what's unfortunate is even though there may not be specific proposals that could be put into the May revision of the governor's budget, they could signal that they have plans in place to try to address some of those federal cuts. And one of those would be taking on things like inefficient and unnecessary tax breaks that waste state resources, or thinking about how the state can use its reserves to buffer in terms of one-time cuts. So I think some of what's concerning is that this budget proposal is sort of happening in a vacuum that's only about state conditions and not effectively anticipating some of what we know is on the table at the federal level.
Mm. Given that this total budget is $322 billion, it's projected to be the second largest state spending plan ever. There could be a lot of Californians wondering, how can we be in the red if we're spending this much money?
Yeah, it's simply a function of how economic conditions are changing. And, you know, we're a large state. Populations grow over time. Caseloads grow over time. So even though those numbers seem really big, and certainly $300 billion plus is a big number, you know, there are lots of people that are being served, lots of public supports that are being funded there. So, you know, it's just when the economic conditions change, the fiscal outlook sometimes changes. And so then state leaders have to deal with budget deficits. But here again, they don't have to deal with it solely through the spending side. They could be looking at revenues, they can be looking at reserves, and they can be thinking about how they look at the system overall in order to make sure they're doing the most they can for Californians.
Finally, for those who don't walk in the state budget on a regular basis or even think about the May revise, what would you like the public to keep in mind as the state legislature works to balance a budget over the next 4 weeks?
Yeah, I think the thing that I would say is that that the next few months are going to be different than perhaps prior budget cycles. With the impending federal cuts and the fact that that timeline is kind of unknown. It doesn't work on a schedule in the way that the state budget works, means that state leaders are probably going to have to come back and make some significant revisions to whatever budget they enact by early June or mid-June. So I think that, you know, watch July and August this year, because that's when they'll be having to deal with whatever comes down from the federal government.
What is going to be the top priority for the California Budget and Policy Center?
Protecting the progress the state's been able to make in terms of significant investments in the well-being of millions and millions of Californians, particularly people with low incomes. That specifically means trying to protect Medi-Cal, which, as you noted earlier, serves about a third of Californians, protect food assistance that helps low-income folks access groceries, and making sure that state leaders don't solely address whatever challenges they're facing solely through spending cuts, but that they include revenues as an option that they put on the table.
Chris, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Chris Haney is the executive director of the nonpartisan California Budget and Policy Center. We've been talking about the governor's revised 2025-2026 state budget, which was just released and is projecting an estimated $12 billion budget shortfall. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio, where facts matter and stories inspire. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.